What a segue. With us on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Josh Lewenberg from the Summer League in Vegas. Question number one, Josh. The temperature in Las Vegas at 1:35 in the afternoon is?
It is hot. It is hot.
No, you don't say.
That's as specific as I can give you, but it is hot. There's no right temperature here in Vegas. You're either indoors and it's freezing cold, or you're outside and it's unbearable.
You can feel your eyeball shrink when you walk inside. So the Summer League has really become a thing in the NBA, not just to see the young players, but now veteran guys are going to check it out. Vince Carter is doing analysis on it. So who's who, and who are some of the Raptors players have been around there?
Well, what's interesting about this, I've noticed this especially over the last couple of days, is it's certainly becoming a bigger deal every year amongst the fans and amongst the media. I mean, there's a ton of media coverage here now. And yet, as big of a deal as it's becoming to us, it's becoming less and less of a big deal, I think, to these actual teams that look at this and say, well, why would we risk playing Zion if he could get hurt? And, of course, he right. did. Suffering a minor injury, knee and knee, just a few minutes into his first game, and then they shut him down. A lot of the top rookies, Ja Morant, Memphis isn't playing, a bunch of the top picks not playing for their respective teams. So, I mean, certainly the product of basketball here isn't the greatest for the Raptors. I mean, they've got a bunch of roster guys or guys that are on the fringe of the roster. Chris Boucher, of course, the G League MVP last year. He's probably going to be with the Raptors this year. His contract doesn't fully guarantee until the start of the season, but he's probably the biggest name for the Raptors, a guy that they want to see what he's able to do. Jordan Lloyd, a two-way player for them, and Malcolm Miller is a guy that has a partial guarantee on his deal as well. But, I mean, there's nothing especially interesting here from the Raptors side of things. I think from their opponent today is probably a lot more interesting than the New York Knicks, RJ Barrett, Iggy Brazdeikis, a couple of Canadians, and a couple guys that we watched the other day. Ironically, it was not the third overall pick, RJ Barrett, who looked great a couple days ago. It was Iggy Brazdeikis going off for 30 points. So it'll be interesting to see from the Raptors' opponent today which of those guys steps up and whether or not RJ can bounce back after a couple of rough outings for the Canadians.
And Josh, we were talking about all the things that basketball is doing right, you know, at the time compared to some of the other sports, and the Summer League is one of them for sure. But so is this the first time you've gone to cover it?
No, this is, I think this is trip number four for me. I've been okay. here a few times. The first year that I was here covering it for the Raptors was the Bruno Caboclo year. So that was interesting.
The infamous Bruno Caboclo year. That was, we all remember that.
Yes, in game one, he got dunked on and cried. And he's still playing here 5 years later. So he actually looked quite good the other day. I think he had 19 points. So, yeah, I mean, this is a good opportunity for guys like that, guys that are trying to prove something even in year five for Bruno. He's trying to earn a roster spot. No tears this year for Bruno.
What's been the buzz there about the Kawhi move to the Clippers? What are you hearing from basketball people there?
I mean, not a whole lot. I think, obviously a lot of people were surprised by it, not necessarily that he ended up with the Clippers, but how he ended up with the Clippers, obviously the Paul George heist. I don't think anyone expected that from Kawhi, and maybe we should have. He's a smart dude. He's quiet, so you don't often hear from him. And maybe a lot of people didn't know that he was capable of pulling off something like this, but it sounds like he did a lot of orchestrating behind the scenes, and ultimately got himself to where he wanted to get to with the player that he wanted to get there with. There's a lot of intrigue, I think, not only about him and the Clippers, but about this NBA season that's to come. There's probably more parity in this league in both conferences than we've seen in a long, long time. So I think there's just, generally speaking, a lot of excitement surrounding basketball and surrounding the NBA here right now.
And as we sat here Friday, Josh, and analyzing everything between 4 and 7 o'clock, the Clippers were the one team that we had pretty much ruled out in terms of an option. So things drastically changed in the hours after that.
Yeah, that was what was so fascinating about it. I mean, a fitting end to a week in which the theme was nobody really knows anything. And the Clippers, they had been the front runner, the favorites to land Kawhi, seemed like, for most of the season. And certainly they weren't hiding their interest in him. They sent a high-ranking representative to over half of the Raptors' games this year to try and at least quietly court him. But then, yeah, as things were really heating up in the days leading up to his decision, and maybe he wasn't even, maybe we should stop calling it Kawhi's decision. It was Kawhi's coup, Kawhi's heist. Yeah, I mean, they were sort of flying under the radar. Even the most plugged-in insiders around the NBA had ruled them out or at least reported that they were falling out of the race, and it was the Lakers versus the Clippers. And now in hindsight, I mean, we still don't really know what was going on there, even as more information is starting to come out. But based on what I've heard, it seemed pretty unlikely, I think, that the Lakers would have landed him. It does seem like it was a Clippers versus Raptors battle. And I mean, there's some conflicting information there, too, where some people believe that he was never truly considering the Raptors. My understanding of it is this. I think the choice number one, preference number one, was always going to be the Clippers. But I don't think Kawhi was going there unless he could find another star, another superstar player to team up with. And once Jimmy Butler was off the board, he went to Miami. They zeroed in on Paul George. But if the Thunder had dug in their heels and said, we're not trading Paul George, if for whatever reason that trade never happened and they couldn't get a second star for Kawhi, I do believe that he would be a Toronto Raptor today.
What do you think of the Stanley Johnson signing? It kind of went under the radar a little bit because of all that went on the weekend. But Stanley Johnson was a lottery pick at one time. He's moved around a bit, but it's a two-year deal for the Raptors. Not a lot of risk. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, you could throw Rondae Hollis-Jefferson into the conversation, too, because I think both of them, Stanley Johnson and Hollis-Jefferson, they've got similar profiles, and it's a similar situation. I mean, these are low-risk, maybe even no-risk flyers at a position where you have a definite need right now. I mean, listen, the Raptors are not going to replace Kawhi Leonard, and if people are expecting them to, at least in the short term, they're going to be disappointed. These are the guys that were out there, but as I said, and to your point, I mean, these are guys that at one point were highly touted players. Hollis Jefferson drafted a little bit lower in the first round, but a player that, I mean, he's shown flashes in the NBA probably more so than Stanley Johnson has. Both of them have a ton of defensive upside, and we've already seen that during their time in the NBA. The reason why they were out there, they were available at the cost that they were available at, is because they haven't shown the development, I think, that a lot of people had hoped and expected to see from them on the offensive side, and specifically their jump shot is a concern. And when you look at the way the Raptors team is constructed right now, minus Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard, with the additions, obviously, of Hollis Jefferson and then Stanley Johnson, that's probably the biggest concern right now is spacing. How is this team going to shoot the ball? Where are their shooters? Where are the three-pointers going to come from? And I think that you figure out, you can add shooters. They've already added one with Matt Thomas. And I'm sure they're hopeful that given the age of those two players, Hollis Jefferson 24, Johnson 23, that shooting is a talent, a skill that can be taught. They did it with Pascal Siakam. They did it with OG. But I think the identity we're clearly seeing here that the Raptors are trying to build, trying to develop is a defensive identity. They're still going to be long, and they're still going to be versatile, a lot of talent on the defensive end. So, yeah, I mean, it may not be pretty in the way that they go about winning games this season, but I still think, while not a championship contender anymore, this is a team that could win a lot of games in a very wide-open Eastern Conference.
So what's the plan for the rest of the day, Josh?
Just heading up for lunch now and then back to the arena. Actually, as I mentioned, an exciting game today, Raptors-Knicks. Going to be good to get another look at RJ and Masai Ujiri, who's been overseas attending to a personal matter, is expected to arrive today, and we should hear from him at halftime of the game. So we'll talk to Masai for the first time since Kawhi left, get a sense of what went down there, maybe get a little bit more information, and of course get his vision for how this Raptors team is shaping up and what the plan is now in the post-Kawhi era.
Are you going to hit the tables at all while you're there?
Already done.
Oh, well done. I was worried because we sent Masters to Wimbledon. He's done nothing. Mark Masters has done nothing in London. So you have hit the tables at Vegas.
I was at Caesars yesterday. Things are going pretty well, although I'm sure I'll be giving some of that back tonight.
Nothing wrong with that. Josh, thanks for joining us, and look forward to hearing what Masai has to say later on today.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Josh Lewinberg, our Raptors reporter at Summer League in Vegas.